A genuine old-fashioned water monopoly.
Fascinating.
Control the people by controlling the water.
Rather similar to how the Aztecs maintained population control by pretending to need human hearts to make the sun rise.
Quite so, dear lady.
Holding on to a rib of the awning, Dean glanced back toward the red brick building. The crowd was carrying away a body, blood dripping off the form to show he was still alive, although just barely.
Or do you think they got some kind of big mutie in there? Could be it drinks blood and pisses water or something like that.
Some cave bats drink blood and piss ammonia.
JB removed his fedora to wipe the sweatband with a handkerchief, then he tucked it back on.
And we can cook that into a kind of explos, so who knows?
Doc shook his head sadly.
Changing blood into explosives. Never have I heard a better paradigm for existence in this wretched land.
Following the mounted guards past a slaughterhouse and a reeking row of public toilets, Ryan steered the vehicle away from the protected section of the Ville and into a wide open area exposed to the raw sun. It was like entering an oven. There was nobody on the streets, not even a dog or lizard. The adobe buildings spaced far apart so that it was possible to see the high wall surrounding the Ville 100 feet away. Their goal appeared to be a pre-dark motel situated between a roofless adobe ruin and a garbage dump buzzing with flies. The original neon sign on the cinderblock wall was only a stain, the name long gone and replaced with a poorly drawn cartoon of a bed and a spoon on a faded wooden placard. That was necessary these dark days for the many folks who couldn't read.
Pretty clever. Having outlanders living without a roof must cut their stay short.
Make buy more water, too.
Jack rubbed a hand across his dry mouth. The canteen hung heavy at his side, but he was holding off until they were someplace out of the direct sun.
Okay, this is the place.
Hawk reined his stallion to a halt and walked it around.
You can put the wag in the barn over there. We have no other outlanders staying here, so you won't be bothering any horses.
Ryan turned on the heater to keep the overheating engine operating. As a wave of hot air rushed from the vents, the temperature gauge needle flickered and began to move away from the red line in a pulsating motion.
Fair enough. Any laws we should know about?
Hawk leaned forward in the saddle, both hands crossed over the pommel.
Yeah, there are. You can leave Rock Point anytime you want during the day, but not at night. Disobey a sick man, 10 lashes. Steal water, 30 lashes. Hurt a horse, 100 lashes. Go anywhere near the temple, death. Say anything treasonous against the Baron, you get into the temple permanently. You leave at dawn in 3 days.
With that done, the big man shook the bridle to start the stallion trotting away. The rest of the sec man rode around the sputtering wag once, with hands on blasters and a patent display of firepower, then followed their chief back into the coolness of the covered Ville.
Mother Gaia, I wonder why they let us come inside. They sure as hell don't seem to want any visitors.
Ryan explained his hunches to the woman as he turned the wheel to head for the adobe barn.
Probably the only way to get any news about what's happening outside the walls. New plagues, new muties and such. If they stayed too isolated, something big could come their way, and they wouldn't be ready to fight.
Simple self-preservation, nothing more. Walls this thick were built to keep something out.
Or in.
Rolling the wagon to the barn, Ryan made a wide arc and managed to turn it around to park facing the exit. It would be ready to charge and smash through the door in case they had to leave in a hurry. Ryan turned off the engine, and he and JB both stayed in the vehicle, listening carefully as it sputtered and backfired, and finally went still.
The intake is clogged with salt dust. Tricky to fix that.
Setting the handbrake, Ryan added to JB's thought.
And we have to remove that thermostat.
Damn straight we do. My legs are feeling like they've been dipped in acid rain.
Ryan reached under the dashboard and pulled a handful of fuses.
At least we got the spare juice to flush the manifold, but that's for tomorrow, after we rest and eat.
Good. Starving.
Tucking the fuses into a pocket, Ryan climbed down from the cab and walked to the rear of the wag to claim his backpack. A slanted shadow cut across the interior of the barn from the setting sun, but if there was a difference in temperature, it wasn't readily noticeable. Why anybody would build a vill here in the first place was a puzzle. Then again, maybe it was started by folks fleeing across the salty desert, and they suddenly found a water supply. Ryan checked his wrist chron.
Dean takes first watch, Doc next, then Jack, JB, and me. We switch every 2 hours.
No prob.
Dean lifted a nuke lamp and checked to make sure the device still worked. Even in the daylight, the brilliant beam was clearly visible. Turning it off, he placed the lamp on the ground in the far corner, where the beam could shine in the open doorway. Hidden in the shadows behind the light, he would be a hard target to shoot. Gathering their backpacks, Mildred and Christy said nothing about being left out of the rotation schedule. They knew that a woman standing guard alone at night would only be an open invitation for serious trouble. They'd do a turn during the day, or by a campfire once the group was far from the vill. Lifting the hood, JB pulled an ignition wire and coiled it into a bundle before tucking it into his munitions bag. Too many folks seemed to know how to jump a fuse these days, so he decided to take some extra insurance. Unless a hijacker had exactly the correct replacement for the same make and model wag, the vehicle wasn't going to move an inch. The rope, shovels, and other small items they could safely leave behind. There was only the single entrance, and Dean was a good shot.
Don't lose that, John.
Mildred slung her own backpack onto her shoulder.
We really don't want to stay here for any longer than necessary.
Got that right.
The armorer slipped the S&WM 4000 off his back and offered it to Dean.
How about some company?
Thanks.
Dean accepted the shotgun and rested it on his shoulder.
You hear this, you better come running.
Or sound the horn.
Ryan checked over the arrangement inside the barn with approval. The site was tight.
See you in 2 hours.
No problem.
As the rest of the companions walked from the barn, Dean followed them to the doorway. Watching them head for the ramshackle motel, he noticed a young girl across the street, just standing there, her slim arms holding a clay water jug. She was about his own age, just starting to fill her raggedy dress with the shape of a woman. She was so beautiful it was like something from a pre-dark vid, and on impulse he gave a brief wave. Shyly, the girl smiled, and that was when he noticed her topaz eyes, bluer than the sky after a storm. Dean started forward, but then stopped, knowing that he couldn't leave the wag unattended. Frantically, he tried to think of something to call out to her, but nothing came to mind. After waiting a minute, the girl shrugged in resignation and padded around a corner with her water jug. Dean followed her progress until she was gone from sight.
Maybe this place isn't so bad.
He settled down into a comfortable position against the wall to watch the street in the hope that she might return.